Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I'm sitting here with...
Hey, I'm Tom McGregor.
And we are excited to be back in Imprint state-of-the-art studio for another episode of what we have entitled The Word of Their Testimony. McGregor, where does that come from?
It comes from the book of Revelation.
Hmm. What's that? What's it all about?
Oh, it's like the...
Not the book of Revelation. That's a whole other podcast.
Like, I was going to say, I don't know if we're going to get into your testimony today. Yeah, it's Revelation 12:13, where there's this little poem about how people become the overcomers that have been alluded to throughout the book, but especially in the letters to the churches, and that the way that Jesus' people overcome is by trusting in his sacrifice on the cross, the blood of the Lamb, by talking about their experience with him, the word of their testimony, and then not being afraid about the consequences, which in that context is death. So not being afraid to die.
Yeah, not loving your lives unto death. Mm-hmm. So the punchline is that there is... Obviously, there's great power in what Jesus has done, but then there's also power in talking about exactly what he's done in our lives and mm-hmm. how that has played out. So that's how we overcome the evil one, which is pretty amazing. And we've heard a lot of cool stories over the past few weeks. And to that end, we have a very special guest in the studio today. Very special guest. Who are you?
This is Aaron Voth.
Hey, Aaron Voth. How you doing, man?
I am doing quite well today. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Aaron, how long have you been around Imprint?
It's kind of broken up into two sections, but I first came on board around 2019, beginning of 2019.
Beginning of 2019.
Good timing.
Moved away for a portion of time and then just returned in the end of 2021.
Cool, man. Sweet. Yeah. So. It's been cool to have you around. You grew up kind of in the area as well.
I did, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. And you've had like a lot of big life change, or a lot of stuff happening, a lot of cool things, exciting things happening in your life lately. Is that right?
Yeah. To name a few would be marriage and baby on the way.
Baby on the way. Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm excited for you. That's going to be awesome. Well, Aaron, I'll get right to it, man. What's your faith background been like? What was it like growing up in your home? And just kind of start at the beginning.
Okay. Growing up, it would be, I think that would be categorized as grown up within a Christian home, mm-hmm. Both believing parents and being raised and instructed in the ways of the Lord. We would attend church and going to youth group for youth group when I was younger, actively going to church. I'm just gonna go full dive in here. Stop
yeah,
me
that's
if you
fine,
want
man.
Other
Do it.
Questions, but there was genuine faith when I was younger, mm-hmm. Having a relationship with Jesus. Did I know to the full extent of what the gospel was or the playing out of what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus? Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah. But
enough to like him.
Yeah.
Love him.
Definitely.
Yeah. Communicate. No, he loved you.
Yeah. Talk with him daily. And
when did that start? Did that start? I know you said you kind of were in an environment where you had Christian parents and that kind of thing. Was that something that started like at a point you can remember? It was just kind of always in the home, always growing up, always kind of part of your memory.
Yeah, it was always just kind of, I would say it was always part of my memory. But there was, you know, we'd get away to these retreats. We'd have these kind of monumental sermons, if you will, on youth group that were just kind of, they'd really tug on the strings of your heart. And then there was always like these moments where it was like, you know, if you want to dedicate your life to the Lord, follow me in this prayer. Mm-hmm. This is what it means. And so I remember when I was younger, like that was definitely, I probably did that one too many times.
Oh yeah.
But it was, I would say middle school was about the time. That's when I got baptized and it was like, this is part of my identity. This is what I want. This is who I love.
Yeah. Cool. But it's something that was like talked about in your home. I know you said you guys went to church a lot, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was just kind of common knowledge in your home, like Jesus is Lord and we're a family that's going to try to follow him, that kind of thing.
And it played out in, it wasn't just around the dinner table. It wasn't just praying before meals. It was in our conversations and
Sweet.
Wouldn't be on that.
So. That's a huge blessing.
It is.
What was it that, I know you said, like, you know, again, different camps, different experiences, that kind of thing. I think it's cool the way God uses those. What was it that in middle school, was there anything in particular that happened then that made you think, well, this is real and I need to respond to this, like being baptized? What was it that made you want to be baptized? Or what was it that kind of made middle school more significant than the faith that you had earlier?
I think it just kind of came down to a point where it was, you have the faith. Demonstrate it, act on it. We're called to be baptized, so put it into action. And it kind of just came down to this crux of, if you're not baptized yet, like, or in my mind it was, if you're not baptized yet, why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. That's a great question. If you're not baptized yet, why not? We always joke it's like the easiest thing that that Jesus asks you to do, you know, after being saved. The rest of it's a little rough and much longer and a little more open-ended. Was that something you processed at home, or is that something you processed, like, and you said you were involved in youth group and stuff like that. Was that something you processed with someone, or was it just kind of something you, in praying about, were like, you know, this is something I need to do?
It's actually interesting that we're, like, diving pretty deep into this area, because this is, like, my memory of that time is not super crystal clear.
That's fine.
But there is a, anyway, so as I answer this, it's kind of spotty, but, wait, sorry, can you repeat the question?
I was just saying, like, was this, when you were, you know, I know you said middle school was kind of like where you noticed, like, a difference in the way that you were pursuing the Lord.
Uh-huh. What
caused that? I know you said it was like a camp thing, but was this something that had been going on in your head, like through prayer? Is this someone that you know kind of pushing you towards this, or was it a mix of all that?
No, it was completely individual, in the sense of no external... I don't recall any external pressure. It was more of the opportunity presented itself, and it was then inside it was just, well, why not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that was at a retreat.
What like kind of happened afterwards?
After being baptized?
Yeah. Did things crystallize?
No.
was there any change?
There was change in the sense, maybe in a wrong way of like, okay, now that I'm baptized, now my faith should play out like this. And so it was more of like, maybe there was an expectation of, okay, now that I've been baptized, now my faith and my relationship is going to be a lot different.
Mm-hmm. Like your personal expectation of yourself.
Yeah.
And what you expected to experience is going to be different. But it wasn't necessarily.
It actually went... So I'm kind of moving a little bit ahead, but it went in the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, talk about it.
So I'll just categorize this portion as the hiatus from God. And that was about... So that started beginning of high school, maybe a little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
Until 2018.
Okay.
No.
So... Gotcha.
What kind of started that? Was that... I know you said hiatus from God. That's a fun way of putting it. But was it just unmet expectations, or was it?
So from 2018 to this last summer, there was a big wrestling in my mind of that portion of time had a big question mark over it.
Mm.
What happened? Like, I knew I had genuine love for the Lord, and it was like, so what was with this huge
the big question
away. And I would bring that to him and ask him, would you reveal this portion of my life? Like, this is pretty significant. And he answered that. So I will answer your question through the way that he answered it to me.
Okay.
And that was through a Bible camp last summer. It was a youth group, middle school Bible camp up at Lakeside on Whidbey Island. And I was a cabin leader, and I was with them for a whole week with a set of great middle school boys. But throughout the week, I was starting to realize I hadn't been at a retreat like this since I was younger, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I hadn't participated in serving in that way. And so it was bringing back a lot of, like, childhood memories, and... I was starting to see things surface that I just wasn't maybe as conscious or aware of when I was younger.
Like you were seeing it play out in other people's lives?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And and a little bit in mine.
Oh,
I'm brand new to this camp. Most of the people, it was my first time meeting them. And so I would categorize that feeling as acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a, like, I would look around and I felt more conscious or aware of kids that were maybe not accepted or just kind of on the outside and just like maybe having difficulty fitting in.
Hmm.
And what people do to try to move past that barrier or try to become accepted by
Totally.
By their peers.
Hmm.
So to wrap that up, there was a at the end of the week, it was kind of a shower thought, but God answering the question all together. it was the question mark was that I was not feeling accepted in the means and methods that I was looking for acceptance. And I was not finding acceptance in the people both at church or at school. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of felt like an outsider to mm-hmm. some extent. I had my little group of friends, but I think there was a desire for more and a more broad acceptance. And so that's where I started to divert from his path. Mm-hmm. And I quickly found at that age that acceptance, I wasn't finding it at within the circles at church. I could find that at school and in the public domain via drugs, alcohol,
yep.
fitting in with what was cool.
Yep. Hmm. Totally.
So, and that is a slippery slope that, it doesn't stop. And, it's very shallow. Those friends, if you want to call them friends, it's
dissipate,
built on nothing.
Yep. If you're out, you're out.
Gotcha. So that was, you said that kind of started early high school, and how long did that path last?
I mean, I really didn't return. The Lord didn't draw me back to him, or I didn't turn back to him until 2018. And so there's another overlapping theme in there, that was, about relationships. And I'm a very relational individual. That's one of the most important things to me. And that's what I cherished in my relationship with the Lord when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But in this pursuit of acceptance and pursuit of, it was, in tandem with this desire for, I mean, I've been turning away from him. And so then there was this longing deep within me for this meaningful relationship that in my clouded mind and thought, that I thought that would be in a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was stepping into these relationships, that were toxic and took me further and further in the wrong direction. But my heart was like so into it, so, borderline addicted and just fully devoted to this person, because I was looking to them to fill that gap in my heart.
Yeah, totally.
So, and in that, there was marriage. That was my first marriage. That she was not a believer. And there were several others that were each one was, they ended, most of them were in unfaithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And each one that ended broke my heart further and further, and the gash and the wound in my heart got deeper and deeper. during that time, I was losing relationships left and right around me that were really, really meaningful.
Yeah.
Like family, friends that had preceded kind of this downward spiral into drugs and relationship addiction?
Or? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some family members and other friends that I thought were friends, and they were kind of, it was just growing apart. Mm-hmm. And I remember with this last relationship, she had some coworkers that were Christians, and they were saying, you know, they would speak out about their faith. And so she'd come to me and say, so they believe in God. They talk about this guy named Jesus, and it just seems like they have something that I don't.
Mm.
And she would bring that to me, and all of a sudden, all these like triggers and all these, not in a bad way, but they were just like,
yeah.
I literally shared the gospel with her for like half an hour, and I hadn't touched that or Jesus in.
When you're like sharing this, is that just like an intellectual thing, or is something going on?
No, it's going on in my heart. It's okay. there's a passion and like a remembrance. It was like,
yeah.
As I'm sharing, it's like remembering, and I'm getting all excited. And then it was like, you want to go to church together? And we started going to church. And there was at one point that she admitted that she didn't know if she would ever want a relationship with the Lord. And so it was after that that I started praying again. And so this is now I'm in 2018. And it was at that portion that I said, Lord, if this is a relationship that is not honoring to you, if this is not who you want me to be with, would you take this away? Would you end it? And that was, it was entirely her, just a change of heart, not wanting to be in a relationship with me anymore. And it lasted months. And it was, in some ways, it was worse than my divorce.
Mm.
So I can keep going with this.
No, man, you're fine. So I know you said you started praying again. Was that like the first time you remember in a long time, like
yeah.
actually praying? So did it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, can I do a little time travel with you?
Yeah.
So you were about to say like it had been 15 years or something?
15. Yeah, if I can do the math real quick, it'd be over 15, yeah.
That's a long time. Significant. Yeah. What is God doing in those 15 years? As you look back, like
yeah, I know you don't feel like you weren't really pursuing anything with him. Can you look back and see where he was pursuing you?
That's a great question. Circling back to the very beginning, having believing parents with that blessing and them continually like sharing and like encouraging and praying for me during that time, that's a huge factor in it. But looking back, yeah, my own and I don't know if I was misunderstanding your question, but it was a like, it wasn't a disbelief of who he was. It was just not a, it wasn't a, your Lord over my life.
My life, yeah,
and
yeah.
Your Lord over my decisions and my desires. And
you recognize that he's there, but you've decided to do your own thing.
Yeah.
But what's he doing in that 15-year span of time? While you're doing what you want to do, what is he doing? Like, you know, like you mentioned your parents, but can you see other things that, or moments, or is that like so fuzzy?
It is pretty fuzzy, but I know there. Maybe we can keep going. I'll keep that running and ticking in the back
totally,
of my mind.
Yeah, totally.
Because I know there are certainly things during that time where he was calling me back to him.
Yeah, but in 18, you pray for the first time in a long time, still like going through like crushing heartache. Still using?
No, at that point I was kind of coming to rock bottom with not wanting to dabble in any of that the substances. So
that's a pretty big shift as well. What made you not want to like get high?
Well, actually high wasn't, it was more drinking.
Yeah.
But it was more of a, I was starting to see the emptiness. I was starting to see the loneliness, the destruction, But I would also, let me just throw in there too, pornography. That was like a one that permeated my entire life.
Yeah.
So that, and that one was still, that one was still consistent. But it's interesting because during that time, there was a, my small group leader, Tim King, he always stood out to me as like my mentor when I was younger. And during walking through this, I reached out to him and I was, I didn't even really know what I was doing. It was more of, hey, I'm like, I'm really, really desperate for help and I'm really heartbroken. And so he met up with me and spent like 2 hours, literally just pouring out and trying to convey how much God loves me. And I would try to take the conversation a different direction, and he would just, no.
He'd say, like, no.
This is where we're at. Yeah, taking a step back, there was also a huge amount of anxiety that I was battling. And that, sorry, I'm kind of jumping all over
the place. No, that's what I mean.
I spent, so I went off to college to Western, and then I went from there to the Marine Corps. Did that for 4 years, and then I came out and I moved home in 2015, and there was, and the marriage was during that time that I was
okay. While you were deployed, or
no, it was in 2000. It was just while I was in the Marines. The divorce happened towards the end of my time, but there was an overwhelming amount of anxiety that was crippling when I came home, to the point where I couldn't even get out of bed. I couldn't do normal everyday life stuff. And it was irrational fear in relation to suicide. And I had witnessed part of my time in California, I had witnessed a attempted suicide, and I was under the impression that it was a disease. Yep. Satan was using it to get into my head of saying, because you witness this stuff, that's essentially how people commit suicide, because it's a disease. And now, you're going to do it, even though you don't want to do it. And so it was just like, here I am, like this huge life event shift, leaving a marriage, or not me leaving a marriage, but the marriage ending, me moving home.
Yeah, you ending what was, you know, a significant part of your life and being part of the Marine Corps. Like, that's your life when you're in it. So, like, your life shifts in a huge way, and like, sounds like 3 or 4 enormous ways.
Yeah.
You find yourself back here, and you're just deep in despair, sounds like, deep in anxiety.
Yeah, and I think there was up front for the first week or so, it was super fun being around my family and friends again.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Life went on and they all went back to their respective jobs, and it was like I was stuck with all this internal, and I didn't really I had people to talk to, but I was afraid to admit what was actually going on.
Gotcha.
That's intense, man. So that happens in 15. Three years between then and you get into this serious relationship that hurts worse than the dissolution of the previous. You have this meeting with Tim King, your group leader, that's like, just won't let you
move on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
So then it was, the reason why I was bringing up that anxiety at 15 was, a lot of that was, and not to, I'll get to your question.
You're good.
But a lot of that anxiety, it was never dealt with, and what I saw was never properly, I don't know if it
like processed or whatever, healed. Yeah.
And so that was, buried within this last relationship. So I was able to talk about that stuff with her, and there was, so when that was ending and falling apart, all this stuff that was unprocessed started surfacing, and it was just like, so overwhelmed. So then back to your question would be, This is leading up to December of 2018, and my mom was in town, and she rounded us siblings all together and was asking if anyone was interested in going to church. And it was the weekend before Christmas, and she got all of us to go, surprisingly. And standing there in church, just completely heartbroken, could hardly see because I was crying so much. And the message was, you know, you would think it would be like a standard Christmas narrative kind of story, but what I remember, what stood out was that Jesus being our great shepherd, and that him coming after his lost sheep, and that he would do whatever it would take to come after his sheep. And it just fit not only with the message, but also with the songs that we sang. And at the very end of it, that's when I just prayed and just opened my heart to, this is it. Like, me as an adult, like, I have walked away. I acknowledge that I have sinned against you, and I have led a life with me in charge, that has brought complete destruction, complete loneliness. It has brought me nothing that it supposedly promised. And I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
I want you to take over. I want you to be in charge of every single aspect of my life. And, would you do that for me? I want to be your disciple. And that stands out as kind of the mile marker of being truly brought to my knees and having nothing really to stand on, nothing really to hold, but crying out to Jesus to save me and to satisfy me in a way that only he can.
Man,
that's rad.
That's awesome. Was it, so I know you said you had been to church one other time before. You think it was just the circumstances of God really, you know, I know you had prayed before, like, Lord, if this relationship isn't something you want, then end it. Was it just you really getting to, I don't know if you'd call it rock bottom, or really getting to where there's nothing distracting you from what's going on, and just understanding that, hey, I need to act on these things that I know.
Yeah.
Out
of desperation, like,
And it sounds like a realization of, like, you mentioned a long time ago, acceptance. Like, you'd been looking for acceptance, and it sounds like whoever it was that gave that message, you know, it sounds like them talking about Jesus not just accepting you, but pursuing you into whatever mess has been made, or whatever mess has happened to you, whatever mess you've made. Sounds like that was exactly what you needed to hear that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Not that I would need to, kind of just like a mental image of just, you know, running away, falling into quicksand, or like this big thick puddle of mud, and like not being able to get out of that, and just crying out, and him blowing through and coming and pulling me out of that.
Just laid it all down basically and said, all right, God, I'm ready for something different. And following that, then what happens?
Well, I can tell you that the pain, the heartbrokenness and the pain did not immediately go away. It was a battle every single day of battling with anxiety and battling with heartbrokenness that I would take to the Lord thousands of times throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found that a hot shower and just crying out to him was the most comforting time.
Yep.
And it was in that that there was repetition built, and
yeah.
there was trust. And so there was no big magical, like, I feel different.
Take the blue pill and then all your problems will be gone. Yeah.
Yeah, no. But I will tell you that over time, he removed that anxiety completely, and I have not felt it since.
Oh, man. That's cool. Great.
He's, there were other issues that, for example, the pornography that he would speak to me, like, we're addressing this first and foremost. And he did that through his body of believers.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a weird, like, through a coworker at work who just randomly, anyway.
Well, talk about it.
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
Go ahead. All right.
This,
yeah.
This is...
Because, so, just give you background on this, is the pornography was so ingrained within me that I had pride in it because it was a part of my identity.
Oh, man. Mm. Yeah.
And so, this was something that... I was going to have a really hard time turning over to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I knew I was definitely convicted in it, where in the past I was like dull to it.
Yeah.
But now it was like, no, this is utterly wrong. Mm-hmm. And so there was a coworker, who randomly pulled me aside one day at work. And he said, I don't normally share this with people.
Oh, I love this story already. I love this already.
But he said, I've been married for so and so many years, and I've been addicted with pornography, and it has completely devastated my marriage in many ways. And I used to be a pastor at one point, and God called me out of that because of my issue with pornography. And he went on to kind of share a little, like, a brief history of that. And that was about it. He was just like sharing the destruction of his choices. And
it was just, I thought you should know.
I thought you should know.
Yeah.
Is this a guy you had talked to much before, or was it just kind of random?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked, we've had quite a few conversations before, but never to that depth, that vulnerability that would welcome an intimate kind of conversation or
totally
proclamation.
Yeah.
Like,
does he know about your use?
He did after that.
Okay, yeah, but not before.
No.
Oh wow,
man. No. Okay,
that's what kickstarted a lot of it. So, and the Holy Spirit, I felt like made me so aware of that. There was like, I'm reading between the lines. Like, I.
There's not a lot between the lines there. It's more like just right just, there in bold print.
Yeah, that's true.
Aaron,
yeah.
I love you and I want to save you.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. So we tackled that together.
What did that look like? I'm curious. I'm someone who has dealt with that in the past, so I'm just curious. You know, they say, what is it, like 3 out of 4 guys in the church have looked at porn in the last...
It's probably,
but
higher.
It's probably higher because it's self-reported. But yeah, they say say 3 out of 4 guys have looked at porn in the last month that are in the church. So this is obviously
it's 2 out of 4 women.
2 out of 4 women, and yeah, I mean we have a porn culture basically. Yep, it's everywhere. It's in your pocket everywhere you go. So easily accessible.
So
ma'am, what was it? I know obviously it's like God put up a billboard for you in the form of this guy. It's like, okay, the Holy Spirit is wanting this out of my life. Like, God wants this out of my life. What did it look like? You said you guys tackled it together. I'm curious what that looked like.
So kind of what I was referring to before with, the anxiety and the heartbrokenness, mm-hmm. And just, like communicating it to him, like pouring out my heart about it. That was in a sense what I was doing. It's interesting because I tried doing this, like, I guess you could call it quitting cold turkey.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, all right, like, I hear you. I'm, like, awake. We're done with this. Mm-hmm. And then in those temptations, I would just really cry out and really rely on him. But I wouldn't, there was no confessing. I didn't know at this stage of like the power of
walking in the light and getting
it out of my head and like talking with other brothers and like asking for prayer. So I was really like battling it on my own in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go down that path if you want, and
I think it's worth it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
This
is a choose your own adventure book, Aaron, and you've stepped
it's like
in and
D&D
yeah.
for
a
the,
little bit,
for,
yeah.
For a Christian.
A little bit. Yeah.
I like it. Amy will listen to this and say she's not one for choose your own adventure. She's very much structured
on the
Lord
rails.
Of the Rings.
On the rails. Oh yeah, there you go. Of, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that I felt like lasted for 7 months or so, and it was just like I felt like my spiritual walk and my growth was on fire and just accelerating really quickly. And then I fell, and it was like once I fell, it was like right back into it, and it was I didn't have the support, I didn't have, because I wasn't talking to anyone. It was
It was kind of gutting it out a little bit. I mean, I know you said you were calling out, but it was all kept in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then it wasn't till maybe, yeah, about a year later, once I had moved up north, I had left Imprint at this point. I moved up north and walked into this one church, checking it out. And the guy, this elder approached me and he was like, "Hey, you want to do a discipleship group with me and be a part of one?" And so I was like, "Yeah, that sounds great." And in between or along the way, it was like I was starting to talk. I was starting to get this out, and because I think there's a huge comfort in knowing. First Peter talks about in chapter 5. About the suffering that we like is shared by brothers all over the world. You're not the only one that's going through this. You're not the only one that's targeted. There's been thousands of years, or there's been hundreds and thousands of years of believers before you that have probably walked something pretty similar. So you're not the only one in this. And there's strength. I feel like there's just power in confessing.
Yeah, man, that's the whole walking in the light thing, you know. That's that's the First John thing. That's mm-hmm. what we talked about last fall. You know, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. And then at the end of James, even, you know, it's he says confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed. So there's something, obviously our sin is dealt with in Christ and forgiven. Mm-hmm. But there's something healing and something powerful about confession, about walking with believers. That's why we're left with each other and not in these silos, or, you know, we don't live off in caves in the desert by ourselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
So it was through that discipleship that the last book that we went through was entirely on pornography.
Hmm. What was it?
What was the name of the...
The book.
Every Man a Warrior.
Hmm. Remember, I haven't heard of it yet.
It's
there you go, listeners.
They're it's put on by two guys from The Navigators.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we walked through that, and there was a group of about four or five of us. And it kickstarted this. I'm talking specifically about that fourth book. It kickstarted this super like we just weren't ashamed to go there. We weren't ashamed to get into the details. Like, hey, brother, like, blah blah blah. Like, this is what I was struggling with.
Yeah.
Yesterday,
it wasn't just like, man, sure is gray today outside, huh? Yeah.
Well, you're being vulnerable, but you're also in a community of grace that like represents God's grace for you.
Yeah.
So it's an experience of God's grace through the community.
Yeah.
And that heals.
Yes. Yeah. And I think in that grace, there's, it's not a, because I feel like you can easily take that into a confession where it's,
just cathartic.
Yeah. Were you just,
oh, you're co-signing on. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, maybe this is what you're meaning, but like living that lifestyle and okay, I'll confess. And it's just like, nothing's really changing.
Yeah, I checked the box.
Right.
Yeah.
But this, there was an accountability and there was a expectation that we're doing this to be gone from it. And one of the major things that stood out in that was their theme of we worship our way into an addiction. We need to worship our way out.
Oh, man, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it taught us, there were the stepping stones in the first book or first two, but this one was using those stepping stones of developing a relationship with the Lord daily and how to have that ingrained in your daily lifestyle. But I lost my train of thought.
No, you're good. You said you guys are walking together through this. There's grace, worshiping your way out of an addiction is what you're talking about there.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what the other thing was, but maybe I'm not supposed to say it. But the other thing that stood out that I felt was so powerful was that it had us look at Jesus as our example. And what did Jesus do with temptation?
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at him in the wilderness and using scripture. And so we would memorize scripture. That was a huge
classic Navigators. It's so rare.
It's so awesome.
Huge yeah. portion of it. But what that was doing for me was not only was it setting my mind on things above, but there's I feel like there's so many factors to this that I will only touch on a few, but it was filling my mind with and having it in some sense naturally drawn to that when my mind would before be naturally drawn to X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it was, I see my mind or my heart going in a certain direction. And then my natural response because of this memorization would be combat it with these verses.
Yeah.
And, to be honest, that would crush the enemy 9 times out of 10.
Yeah,
be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Yeah, man.
Yes,
that's
yeah.
it.
Sweet.
What are some of those verses? If you don't mind me asking, that you were would kind of go to. And this is not me saying prove it. I'm just kidding. I'm curious.
You're
curious.
Making me sweat over here, Rex.
It was Leviticus 14:12.
No. So yeah, I definitely won't be able to cite them all off, but. 2 Corinthians 10.
I thought that might be one of them.
Yeah, so let me start at verse 4. Verse 4 that says, "For the weapons of our warfare are yeah. not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." So I think, I mean, not to unpack that, but the
you can unpack emphasis, it. I'm
fine. The emphasis there, the highlighted portion for me in context of this conversation was take every thought captive to obey Christ.
Yeah, man. And that's huge.
By memorizing this, it's in a sense
actually doing that.
Doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And in a similar way, I know you started in 4. That's one that I kind of had locked away for that as well. But in verse 3, he says, "For though we walk according to the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is huge, because that is, you know, it's what you had done in those 7 months before you fell. You're like, all right, I can handle this. I got this. I know you were calling on the Lord, obviously, but it wasn't. You weren't waging war the way that it should have been, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's easy to try to quit cold turkey and then just kind of grit it out and wage war with your flesh against the flesh, and you're going to lose.
Absolutely.
Okay, so at that point we're in 2019 now, I guess, right?
You're living up in Bellingham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Linden.
But or Linden. Okay. Yeah.
So you could like spit into Canada up there.
Yes, and maybe we did a few. Actually, throw stones.
Oh, okay.
No, we like Canada. Mm-hmm. Hang on real quick before jumping into
You're good,
that,
you're good.
I think I just wanted to go back to kind of these first couple like almost baby steps with the Lord in 2000. Actually, that would have been early 2019 at this point. There was kind of a sense of, even though I had that childhood, nothing really retained. And so it was like, in some sense. And so it was kind of a, I'll just repeat what I would bring before him. It was, Lord, I don't know what it means to be your disciple, but would you teach me and make me into the man that you created me to be? Mm-hmm. And that was like one of my more frequent prayers I would bring before him. And the playing out of that was, well, there's this book that's kind of important that most Christians read, and we read it in church. I think I should be reading this, but I don't know how.
Yeah,
I really don't. Like, I don't even know where to begin.
Still
or
feel that way.
So, to give you a little context to that, when I was younger, the Bible was definitely a okay. So I'm supposed to read. So I'll flip it open.
Yep.
And I'll Point. Hunt. Yeah. And okay, and then I would superimpose myself onto the text as I'm reading and saying, Where am I in this? Am I doing this? And trying to, and I didn't get anything.
That's familiar. Yeah.
So during this time, I was asking him for help. Like, this is your word. Would you teach me how to read it? And oh my goodness, he opened my eyes up to, so I started in John, went through that, and it was, things just started clicking. The Holy Spirit was just like teaching me. Things were connecting. The very concept that these are like letters written to not only the people then, but also for us.
Mm-hmm.
And just the, so not just the material within the text, but also the text in itself and the,
like, what is this thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And there was just a, it just kind of kicked off this thirst that, still to this day just has a sense of it can't be quenched, which is pretty rad.
And that's really rad.
The more that you dig, or the more that I dig, it's just like, it's a never ending gold mine. And, it's turned into this, you know, you go through the day and it's, your body will tell you, hey, it's able to distinguish, like, if you're hungry or thirsty, and you go through the day and it's like, okay, I need to eat, or I need to drink. And in a similar way, it's, feeling malnourished without God's word, feeling malnourished without, it wasn't until later that he taught me that the other portion of that is actually prayer, and how important that is. So being able to distinguish, like, I'm lacking, or I'm just really in need of just time with you, and how that manifests.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think another big one in there is fellowshipping with the body of believers.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely.
Can't do this walk alone. You can't be a believer in your room with the door shut and your Bible, and it's just me and Jesus. There's definitely, like,
that's part of it.
There's
yeah.
definitely significance. Yeah,
but
I'm just
if
meaning
that's
like,
it. Then
yeah,
then right, no, right. yeah.
So
that's cool, man. We call those spiritual disciplines. That's some pretty cool stuff. And I think we think of those often as like these. There are some that are, you know, a bit different. There's fasting, and I think that's important. Fasting and feasting, disciplines of that. But really, you know, instead of intellectualizing it, like, three things that believers can do to get more and more like Jesus
and have done
forever
thousands of
are
years.
Read His word
or
like
if you didn't own a Bible 1500 years ago, but still Bible intake,
exactly, Bible intake, prayer. And spending time with people who are part of the family of God.
Yep.
It's pretty amazing. Like, those three things consistently will, like, done in pursuit of
Jesus.
Of Jesus. Yeah, not in pursuit of, like, social capital, but done in pursuit of Jesus will absolutely fundamentally change the way that you live. It's pretty crazy.
So maybe I could jump into that real quick, because in those disciplines, I think what I've found to be true, what I've been convinced is that it's not, if you approach it in any other way other than truly deep in your heart wanting to know God, it's
miserable.
Oh, yeah, it's awful. It's, I mean, because I've done that, and I don't want to like hijack with my story, but my thing was I kind of figured out, okay, I like Jesus a lot when I was in middle school, and I was like, Jesus is going to be my hobby. It's kind of like Christianity. Other people play football. I'm gonna get good at this Jesus thing, and so that's what I did with the Bible. It was like I'm gonna use this as to be the Bible guy, or you know, all that kind of stuff. And you're right, it's miserable.
It is.
The words just kind of turn to ash in your mouth if you're doing it that way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So is that a lesson you learned personally, or you've like observed in other people, or?
I mean,
or you just like read Timothy and heard Paul say, "Discipline yourself for the sake of godliness."
Yeah,
and you're I got it.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool if it worked out that way. No, I think it was just because of my shortcomings and the Lord being gracious to teach me through my shortcomings of, hey, this is not a matter of how much you know. This is not a matter of how smart you might sound or the way that you can engage with other people. It's truly to know me for eternity.
Yep.
100%.
And there's nothing better than that. I mean, that is what eternal life is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, that's fantastic. This was all sort of like the coming back, kind of the falling back in love and learning to pursue Jesus again. And this all happened, this has been happening, I guess, in the past 3 years or so, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, man, you've been up in Linden, that kind of thing. What has God been doing in your life, or what have you been learning? Would you say in the past, you know, in the more recent time, what's going on right now?
Oh man, that's a can of worms. You got 2 hours? No. So I struggle a little bit with being practicing brevity, and so. Just
sweet. Yeah. You got the gift of gab.
I'm gonna make that the podcast clip for tomorrow that we put on social media. Just I struggle with brevity, and that'll be it.
Yeah. No, I say that in preparation for me answering your question because, yeah. But I would say maybe a high level view would be how sinful and just how much I'm in need of a savior in the different ways that sin has crept into me and has been brought to the surface in different ways than what we talked about, whatever, 10, 15 minutes ago. But just like, you know, like being married, it's like, it just shows me how selfish I am.
Yeah.
It's incredibly humbling to just know that, just because like I have faith in Jesus and I have the Holy Spirit and he's working out this salvation within me, it doesn't mean that I am now no longer in need of a savior. Like I need Jesus as my savior every single day because he's not done his work. He has not completed the work within me.
Yep.
And so I think it's just a revealing in so many different ways of my fallenness and it's been just kind of bringing me to be more humble before him and I don't know, I think there's other portions too of if you want me to get specific, I think there are portions that just realizing like how much I fear man. There's portions of you know, what does it look like to like how to properly, I think one recently is like, how to properly evangelize and, how much am I being willing? So when the door is presented wide open, I think it's pretty like in my past in history, it's been, I kicked that door wide open. I make full use of it. But what I wrestle with is, you know, how much should I be in other contexts when it's not so open? Or how much should I be initiating? Yeah, it's kind of just struggling with, am I making excuses? Am I fearful of what other people will think of me? I have so many creative ways that like go on in my head of like, how can I navigate this or engage in this person this way to route the conversation to be about Jesus? Mm. And sometimes I feel like the Lord just lays it open.
Yep.
And before my feet. And
so it's like, how do you partner with the Holy Spirit rather than like rush too far ahead or hang too far back?
Yeah. And working with internally, like, okay, is that because it was just not an open door, or is it because I made excuses and I was afraid of what they would think of me or what other people would around me would hear? Or, so yeah, just kind of battling through that.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've just been, you know, I know you said it was baby steps back in 2019, but it sounds like you're just more and more trying to push out and be like, all right, what does this look like to actually live this way? What does this look like to actually live a life sold out for Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah, faithfully.
And faithfully, like, yeah.
He's given me so much and has done so much. So, making the best use of my time and doing all things for his glory, and yeah, not for, going back to the very beginning, vainglory. Like, there is such a, I don't know if it's all people, but there's always like this edge or hint of like, yeah, you should do that because it would make you look good.
Totally,
like,
man. Totally. Yeah, no, I think that's just part of the condition of being human, unfortunately.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, cool. Aaron, thanks for your vulnerability today, man. Like, it's been a huge blessing hearing what God has done for you, what the Lord has accomplished in you. So seriously, thanks for sharing. You shared some low lows and some high highs here today, man.
It's also super cool to see you engaged with young people.
Yeah, yeah.
Young adults that are trying to figure it out, and to know that you are a man of integrity that shares honestly with them, yeah, as real humans,
yeah, for real,
as well as, you know, with our community through the podcast.
Yeah, man, that's great.
Yeah, I think there's importance in the transparency.
Totally. I mean, we're all in process, and if we pretend we're not in process, then we're lying to ourselves and others. Like, so like, to be completely honest with people that are, you know, that we're showing how to follow Jesus, like, hey, we're still figuring this out.
Yeah.
But it's again, if we're a community of grace, man, what a place to do that.
And we can glean.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's the power in these testimonies, as you glean from other people's walk with the Lord, and maybe certain things stand out of like, oh, I can relate, or oh, like the Lord is teaching me something through someone else's story.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But thank you very much for having me.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, guys, that's all for today. If you have questions for us or anything you want us to pass on to Aaron, feel free to email us at podcast@imprintchurch.org. But we will see you next week, if nothing else. So say bye, everyone.
Later.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.